We do thank the Lord for this beautiful Sabbath evening and for the health and strength to be gathered in this house together. We're glad of your presence with us. We're going to commence the meeting as we sing the words of the hymn 383. There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Saviour's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. 383, please, and we'll stand as we sing. Singing, we're going to bow together in prayer. We'll lift our hearts to the Lord. Pray that the gospel might be preached tonight in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Father, we do seek thee in prayer. We rejoice that we can approach your throne. We want to ask thee to fill us now with thy Spirit. We plead that you'd pour out the Spirit of prayer upon us. Lord, we confess that we need your help as we seek thee. We acknowledge freely the difficulties, the struggles that we have as we come to the throne of grace. Your word assures us and encourages us that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. And Lord, we're only too conscious of our infirmities, of our weakness, and we plead, Father, the Spirit will come down upon us tonight. We would plead in the words of that little chorus, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. We pray the Spirit will descend mightily upon this service tonight. Remember, the Scriptures tell us that the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters away back at the beginning of time. And Lord, we want to ask that the Spirit might come and move upon the face of this meeting tonight. The Spirit might come and move even in hearts and lives. Lord, we thank you for each one that's gathered in the meeting. We want to pray, Father, that all that are present will be blessed through this service. We pray that they'll know the blessing of God in their own heart. We want to ask, Father, that being here, the time of fellowship, will be a blessing to us, a blessing to our souls. Lord, we ask thee to make us a blessing, the one to the other. Give us that desire. Give us that outlook. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that we receive from your hand. We thank you for the blessing that others are to us. But we want to ask, Lord, make us a blessing day by day to each one that we would meet. We ask thee, Father, to renew a right spirit within us, even in our outlook, our attitude towards those around us and to others in the church. We would pray, Father, make the words of the hymn our prayer, that you'd make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. We want to ask, Father, that not just personally that would be a blessing. We pray that this church will be a blessing to this community, to this city. Lord, we think of the great needs of this city of Armagh, the great spiritual needs. A city, Father, that is so well known for religion, and yet sadly, Father, it's false religion. Think of the influence of Romanism and of ecumenism upon this city and upon the churches of this city. And Lord, we need thee to come and open the eyes of those that are still in spiritual darkness. Remember the words of John Newton's great hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, but was blind, but now I see. And Lord, there's so many in this city, so many in our land tonight that are in spiritual darkness. They need thee to come and open their eyes, to show them their need, to show them their condition, and to show to them, to reveal to them the person of our Saviour, the loveliness of Christ, to reveal to them the Lord Jesus as the only Saviour of sinners. Lord, we ask thee to do that. Give us a burden to pray. Give us a burden for the souls of the men and women, the young people of this city. And Lord, as we bring to thee the testimony of Christ here, and as we bring to thee the weeks and months that lie before us, this winter's work, Lord, we thank you for circumstances that enable us to have the meetings. We are mindful of the situation that prevailed over these last 2.5 years. And Lord, we thank you for prayer answered. And as we come to this new season, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to open up the activities and to recommence all of these works. We thank, Father, of the labours among the children, among the boys and girls, the young people. We're conscious of the importance of that work at all times, but Lord, especially in these days of great spiritual decline all across the land, we want to pray, bless the children. We want to pray, put your hand upon them. Lord, we know that in church history there was that period of revival among the children. And Lord, we need to see that move again. We pray, Father, that you would touch the hearts of boys and girls. And we pray, Father, touch the hearts of parents in this city, this community. So many that are thoughtless about the spiritual needs of their children. So many that have no concern or conviction that their children need to be in Sunday school or in children's meeting or youth fellowship to be taught the gospel, to hear of Christ. Oh God, we want to pray, touch hearts, quicken consciences all across this city. We recognize, Father, that those are things that only thou art able to do. We need thee to come. We need the intervention of God. We need thee to come and work, Father, again in this land of ours. Remember the words of the psalmist. Our fathers have told us what thou didst do in their day. Lord, we have rejoiced in the stories of God's great blessing, days of visitation. Some in the meeting tonight have experienced some of those days of blessing, even in the early years of the witness of this denomination. And yet, Father, at times not conscious of how great those days of blessing really were. But Lord, we pray that you would do it again. We plead with thee tonight to come and do it again. We know that you're able. Your word says that you're able to revive us again. And Lord, we pray do that in our hearts. Do it in this service. We pray for a little revival in the work here in Armagh as we face, Father, this new season. Breathe new life. We pray into the work, into every department, every aspect of the outreach. And Lord, we ask Thee, we need that revival. Come and breathe it into our hearts, into our souls, into our lives, into our walk with God, and into our service with Christ as well. Lord, we ask Thee, put Your hand upon this testimony of ours, just in these days in which we're found. We pray, lead us on. We pray that this will not be a winter time of decline. We want to pray it will be a winter of progress. We want to pray it will be a winter of advancement. We thank You, Father, for the visitors that have been coming in. We thank You for those that have been attending these meetings regularly, new people that have been coming in even over this last year or so. We praise Thee, Father, for that progress. But we want to ask, Father, that You would increase it. We ask, Father, do it in a greater way. Do it in a greater measure. Lord, we plead with Thee tonight. We ask that You would come and give the increase in the cause of God and in the testimony of the gospel. We pray, Father, bless our time tonight around the Word. Thank You for the Scriptures. Thank You for revealing Thyself to us in the Word. Remember, the Savior said, "They are they which testify of Me." And Lord, we pray that every day as we read the Scriptures, show us the Savior. We thank You too that You've drawn back the veil on eternity. You've shown us not just this world, but the world that is to come. And Lord, we want to pray that You'll solemnize our hearts tonight, even as we think of things eternal and the awful reality of a soul been lost and perishing in hell for forever and forever. So Lord, bless all that are here tonight. Thank You for each one. Thank You for the children too, the young people in the meeting. Bless them. Oh God, save them early in life. Save them each one. Put Your hand upon them. Lord, take them up. We pray that some of these young people will be leaders in this church in years to come. May it even please Thee, Father, to call some of them into the work, into the cause of the gospel. We pray, Father, that some of these young people will be sent forth from this very building to be preachers and missionaries, even to the very end of the earth. Lord, hear our prayers now and our cries. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing Charles Wesley's. Charles was the hymn writer. Jesus the name, high over all, in hell or earth or sky. Angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. The hymn 58, and we'll stand again as we sing, please. in the scriptures, please, to read in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, almost at the very end of the Word of God, the 20th chapter of the Revelation of John. We're going to read the whole chapter, the 15 verses together. Let's hear God's word. Pray the Lord will speak to us through the reading of his word as well as the preaching. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Ending just there at the close of the chapter. And we're sure the Lord will add his blessing this evening to the public reading of his word. We welcome you to our evening gospel service in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, We're thankful to all that have come. We're glad to see such a nice number gathered with us this Sabbath evening. We appreciate your presence, and we pray the Lord will be with us. His voice will speak in this meeting, especially in the saving of souls. We're thankful to all the children, the young people that have come along to the service tonight as well. We want you to know that we appreciate you coming to all the services, and we appreciate your attendance at the evening service tonight. Remember, please, the meetings during the incoming week. Wednesday night at 8, our prayer meeting and Bible study held in the church hall. I'll be speaking at the midweek meeting myself. Then the service is here next Lord's Day, the 11th of September. The Sunday school and Bible classes recommencing next Sunday morning at 10:40. We encourage you to make that known. We would be glad of your help. If you could encourage the children in your family, any children that you're in contact with, make the Sunday school known to them, let them know about it, and encourage them to come along. We'd like as many boys and girls to be present in the Sunday school, to as many as possible, gathered every Sunday morning. So do keep that in mind. Remember the teachers. Remember our Sunday school superintendent, our brother Ken, as he arranges all of the activities with the Sunday school there as it recommences again. Keep in mind that the morning service next Sabbath, 11:30, will be the Sunday school prize giving. So the emphasis in that meeting will be upon the children, upon the Sunday school. The children from the Sunday school will sing a few choruses for us in the meeting. We always look forward to that. It's a great blessing. So please plan to be with us and take the opportunity to invite others. It's a good opportunity to encourage your family or some of the relatives of the children to come along to hear them taking part. There'll be a children's address that will be given in the service, and then we'll give out the Sunday school prizes for it'll be the attendance prizes for last year that will be given out at the close of the meeting. Remember the prayer meeting at 6 in the evening. We thank those that have been gathering for the prayer meeting. We're encouraged by your presence. It's nice to see a little increase in the number there. We encourage as many as possible. Just come that wee bit earlier. We would be glad of your prayerful support as well. 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting, the evening gospel service at 6:30. And Lord willing, I'll be speaking at both of those services. Just remind the elders, the next session meeting, Monday night week, that's Monday the 12th of September at 7:30. Both the children's bright hours recommencing Tuesday week, the 13th of September. Again, please make that known to the children, encourage them to attend. And we want to encourage you to get involved in the work among the children as well. Remember, it's good to be serving the Lord, and there's need for workers in the children's meetings. So we impress that upon your hearts tonight. The Youth Fellowship, God willing, will be starting up next week also. That's Friday, the 16th of September. Take a look at the literature. The latest Vision magazine is available. This is the September edition for September and October. And there's also copies of the church accounts that have been prepared and published. Those are the accounts for 2021. There's copies there in the port. So please take your copy as you're going from the service tonight. And we do thank you, each one, sincerely for your generous support of the cause of Christ. That has helped maintain this witness of the gospel here. We appreciate that, and we take the opportunity as we give out the accounts to express our sincere thanks to you, especially on behalf of the church committee. Remember, tonight in Bethany, there's the youth rally over in Portadown, 8:45. Special testimony from our brother, Mr. Chris Killen, the soloist, Miss Trinity McConnell, and there's going to be some hot food served and a time of fellowship for the young people afterwards. Also for the young people, the Youth Council are holding their province-wide rally on Friday evening coming. That's this coming Friday. at 8 o'clock in the evening. It's going to be held in the Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church. The speakers, the Reverend Marcus Leckie from the Cookstown Church, the Reverend Paul Foster, the current youth president. He'll be there to lead the service. There's going to be some reports of the Youth Council outreaches over the summer, and there was some special singing as well. So a special night for the young people. We encourage you to go along if you're able. Remember as well that also this coming Friday evening at 8, there's a special service down in the Clocker Valley Church. They're reopening their former church building as their new church hall. They've renovated the old church building into church hall facilities. So it's a special time for them. They opened their new church building this time last year. The preacher this Friday night's the Reverend Priestley, a former minister of the congregation there. Paul Irwin and Joy Boyd will be singing, and the opening will be followed by a week of gospel meetings. So if you can, go along to the opening or to some of the gospel services to give your support. It'll give you an opportunity as well just to see the facilities that they have down there in Clocker Valley. Remember the Whitfield College graduation and commencement services. They've been held on Monday the 12th of September, Monday night week, in the Ballymena Church at 8 o'clock. The moderator will be the preacher. Some of the young men who are graduating will be licensed at that service, and there's going to be a wee bit of supper served to everyone after as well. Just to mention again those appointments at the presbytery, the new deputy moderator is the Reverend Samuel Murray, the minister of the Port of Ogie Church. The new chairman of the mission board is the previous deputy moderator, the Reverend Colin Mercer from the Oma Church. And do remember the Reverend Smiley. Mr. Smiley is retiring today from the pastoral ministry, so this is his final Lord's Day preaching down in Ballygown. So remember all of these brethren. The Lord will bless them. Remember the Ballygown Church too as they commence the period of vacancy. We're going to sing together, please, some of the verses of the hymn 232. 232, O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. We'll leave out the second verse, please. So verses 1, 3, and 4, and we'll stand to sing.
He called thee when God prayed his bride.
going to pray together. We'll seek the Lord. Let me just emphasize the words of that chorus. We'll turn while the Saviour in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbour light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? There's great urgency in the matter of your soul in the light of eternity. The great urgency is to get right with God, come to Christ, settle that matter, be sure of salvation, and be sure of heaven. And we pray that someone might do that even this evening. Father, we commit the remainder of the meeting into your care. We ask you to lead us and guide us. We remember, Father, that the scriptures speak of that word fitly spoken, and we want to ask for such a word, such a message tonight. We're conscious, Father, of the solemnity of this subject that we're coming to this evening. We think even, Father, of the solemnity of the portion of Scripture that we have read from, that has brought us to stand at the great white seat, the great white throne judgment of God. Lord, we pray that you'll cause us tonight to be conscious of eternity, bring a consciousness of eternal things upon this meeting and upon our hearts and upon our souls. Even, Father, as your people, help us to fix our attention on things above. Help us to set our affections on those things that are above. Lord, we pray that we'll live every day with eternity's values in view. But we pray, Father, that all that are here, all that are listening, all that are members of our families, that we pray it will be well with their soul. We pray that each one of them will have the assurance and the knowledge of sins forgiven. Hear our prayers. Come upon us now. We acknowledge our need. Lord, fill us. We plead with the Holy Ghost in power. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 20, please. We're coming to the end of the chapter, the final two verses. The scriptures declare in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Notice in each of those two verses, and there's a number of other references through the chapter, but references made to the lake of fire. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, verse 14. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's a solemn truth. It's a fearful picture the scripture set before us. If I could take the theme tonight, or the title for the message, as the ultimate horror. And that's really what we come to, men and women, in this chapter of God's Word. I want to speak to you on a very solemn, eternal subject, and that's the subject of the lake of fire. I ask you just to ponder for a moment, stop, settle, still your heart, and think of that picture in your mind. It is true that all of us here tonight have seen a lake, a beautiful expanse of water. Over the summertime, some of you will have visited some very beautiful scenic spots, some very beautiful and scenic lakes on your holidays. But I want to stress to you that what is spoken of here in this chapter is something that is totally different. It's not a lake of water. This, men and women, is a lake of fire, burns with fire and brimstone forever and forever. Those who perish in this lake, and the Bible tells us that multitudes will, perhaps you will be among them. Those that drown in this lake or perish in this lake, they will drown in the flames. They will not drown in the floods. We often hear in the news, read in the paper of those who drowned in the floods, drowned in the water, even in recent days, sadly up around Londonderry. But what we're reading about here, men and women, is those who will drown in the flames, the fire and brimstone of this lake. Paul, writing to young Timothy, spoke about those who would drown men in destruction and perdition. Isn't that interesting? He uses the word drown in the light of eternity, speaking of those who would perish without Christ, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's what this chapter of God's word is setting before us. It's a horrifying picture. If you think of the title we've taken tonight, it is the ultimate horror. And we impress upon you, men and women, if you're unsaved, then we want to speak to you especially this evening. These verses reveal to us the end of those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, even more personally, these verses reveal what will be your end if you die without Christ as your Savior. So think with me for a few minutes of something, a little, of what the Bible teaches of the lake of fire. Think of the question, first of all. We're going to ask a number of questions this evening and seek to give you the answer from the Word of God. Now think of the question, where is the lake of fire? In answer to that question, I say to you, we can't tell you its exact location. But what I want to stress, men and women, is that the lake of fire is not the same place as hell. Hell and the lake of fire are two different places, two entirely different locations. Sometimes we use the terms interchangeably. Sometimes we think or we give the impression that they're the same place. But I want to stress to you that they're not. It's important to know that. It's important to understand that fact, that truth, from the pages of God's Word. In the New Testament, in the original language, there are two words in particular which describe where the wicked will be punished. I'd like you to know those two words. I'm going to emphasize them to you. Sometimes it is good. I know it's a little difficult. There's nobody knows that more than those that have been through Bible college and studied the Greek and Hebrew, the original languages of the Scriptures. But it is good. It's important at times to know a little bit of Greek to help us in our understanding of the Word of God. The two words in the original language, in particular, that describe where the wicked will be punished are the words Hades and Gehenna. The two words, the two names, they speak of two different places, two very separate places. Hades is the word that is used for hell. In our preaching of the gospel, we speak of souls going to hell, those that die without Christ. When their soul goes out into eternity, it goes to hell. The word there is Hades. But Gehenna is not hell, men and women. Gehenna is the lake of fire, that which is spoken of here in this chapter of God's Word, the Revelation chapter 20. And it is a totally different place. Can I remind you that we believe that hell is in the center of this earth? That's one of the things that makes this planet different from every other planet in the universe. Two things in particular. One is that men that are made in the image of God are on the face of it, and the other is that hell is central to it. Remember that the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away. So if this earth passes away, that means that hell, the place, will pass away with it. But if the punishment of the wicked is eternal, and it is, the Bible teaches that very plainly, then that punishment of the wicked, those that die without Christ, that must continue. And it must continue somewhere else. And it does, men and women. The Bible shows us, and this is one of the clearest treatments of the subject here in Revelation 20, the Bible shows us it continues in the lake of fire. So unsaved person, tenderly but plainly tonight we want to warn you that this is where you're heading. you are heading to this fearful place, the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone forever. So that's the answer, men and women, or something of the answer to the question, where is the lake of fire? Think of the question, when will you be cast into the lake of fire? And I emphasize, this will happen to the unsaved at the end of that period that is known as the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. At that time, as this chapter says, the unsaved dead will be raised. In other words, the resurrection of the just, or sorry, the resurrection of the unjust, what sometimes is described as the second resurrection, will take place. And they will stand at the great white throne judgment. The unsaved, I read to you this morning those words, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, speaking of the judgment seat of Christ. The unsaved will not stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is for the saved. That's for the believer. The unsaved will stand at what is spoken of here in Revelation 20. They will stand at the great white throne judgment. And remember that to stand, or that to appear at that judgment, they will have to be brought out of hell. They will have to be brought out of the prison cell. If you look there in the chapter, the words of the 13th verse, it says that death and hell delivered up. Isn't it interesting? Not just death, but hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So what is happening is that the unsaved, in order to appear, to stand at the judgment, they have to be brought out of hell. They will be brought out of hell to stand at the great white throne judgment seat of God. But they won't be sent back to hell whenever the judgment is over. It is then that they will be cast out into the lake of fire. So I emphasize it. Sinners go to hell. They go to Hades when they die. But they go to Gehenna. They're cast out into the lake of fire after the judgment, the white throne judgment that is spoken of here in this chapter. And it is true, men and women, we have a comparison with that here in everyday life in the legal system that we're familiar with in our own land. You think of a criminal. He's held in one cell to be sentenced. He's awaiting the trial. He's awaiting the court case, the appearance in court, his day in court. And he's held in one cell until the court, until the sentence is given. But after the sentence is made, he's taken to another cell in order for that sentence to be passed. For the duration of that sentence, he's taken to a different place for that sentence to be spent. And so it is, men and women, with the unconverted. Hades, or hell, well, that's the cell where the sinner awaits the sentence of the great judgment day of God. The lake of fire, that's the place where you will experience that sentence for all eternity, forever and forever. So when will you be cast into the lake of fire? Think of the question, who will be in the lake of fire? If you look over into the next chapter, chapter 21, look at the words of verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is a list of those that will be in the lake of fire. Just think for a moment of that list and think of how awful it will be to be in such company. And remember, let me remind you or stress it, that you will be in that company not just for a few minutes, but forever and forever. If you note what is said in Revelation 20 and verse 10, The verse says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Just think of that. The devil, he's cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. That's what I really want to stress to you. If you go to the lake of fire, you will be in the company of the devil, Satan himself, and also the beast or the Antichrist and the false prophet. Can I ask you tonight, is that the sort of company you want to be in? Is that the sort of company that you want to spend eternity with? The beast and the false prophet, they're the first to occupy the lake of fire. If you look back into chapter 19, and let me emphasize the words of verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast, notice the word, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So the beast and the false prophet, they're the first to occupy the lake of fire. That verse 19, chapter 19, verse 20 tells us that they were cast there at the start of the thousand-year reign of Christ. And then 1,000 years later, the devil himself was cast there as well. Can remind you, men and women, that God is a Trinity. We are unashamedly Trinitarian. But I want to remind you tonight that there's not only a Trinity of good, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's also a Trinity of evil, the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The devil seeks to usurp the place of God the Father. The Antichrist seeks to usurp the place of God the Son. And the false prophet seeks to usurp the place of God the Holy Spirit. So there's a Trinity of evil. You're told about it here in Revelation 20, verse 10. So let me ask you to think of that and consider the question again. Do you want to spend eternity with them? Remember that one of the chief glories of heaven is to be with Christ. As the hymn writer said, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. But by contrast, men and women, one of the greatest torments of the lake of fire is that you will be there with the most evil people and the most evil beings that ever existed. And how awful that will be. Think of a fourth question. How will you be cast into the lake of fire? Can I remind you of this, men and women, that sinners will be raised from the dead. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think that just the Christians will be raised again from the dead. But sinners will also be raised. They will also have a resurrection. And their body and soul will be reunited. And it is body and soul, just think of that, body and soul that will be cast into the lake of fire. It is the soul of the sinner that goes to hell. It is the body and soul of the sinner that goes to the lake of fire. In Jerusalem, there was a place called the Valley of Hinnom. That's where the name Gehenna comes from. Gehenna is the Greek form of that Hebrew word Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom in Jerusalem was the rubbish dump. There was fires that burned there continually. And one of the things that they did in the Valley of Hinnom was they brought the dead bodies of criminals and they cast them onto the fire to be burned. And that's the picture here, men and women. That's a picture of the fate of the sinner after the great white throne judgment. Every sinner will be cast, body and soul, into the furnace of fire. The Savior said himself, listen to his words, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Isn't that interesting? Do you ever notice the words? The whole body being cast into hell. The Savior said again, and I stress here, isn't it significant? The Savior spoke so clearly, so often about this subject. The Savior said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both. Notice the word both, soul and body in hell. Now, although the word that's translated there in our English version is the word hell, in both places, in the original, the word is Gehenna. It's the lake of fire. That thy whole body should be cast into the lake of fire, which is able to destroy both soul and body in the lake of fire. So the Bible teaches men and women, body and soul, the body and soul of the sinner will be destroyed in this lake of which we speak tonight. You think of it, if the sufferings of the soul in hell are great, and they are, there's not a doubt about it, then the sufferings of body and soul when reunited and cast into the lake of fire, that must be greater still. That must be at least twice as great. So this undoubtedly, men and women, is the ultimate horror. And this will be your end. I want to make that clear, present that truth to you tonight. This will be your end if you die without Christ as your Savior. One final question is the question, what is the lake of fire like? We're thinking there of the lake, what is it like as far as its torments are concerned? Well, again, listen to the words of the Savior. Matthew 16, verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Notice the words, which shall not taste of death. I encourage you to take the time to find and to read C.H. Spurgeon's sermon on that text, Matthew 16, verse 28. It's very instructive, very helpful. In that sermon, he refers to a message on the same text by a bishop in England many, many years ago, way even before Spurgeon's time, Bishop Horsley. Spurgeon said that he'd got great help and confirmation in his study and understanding of that text by reading Bishop Horsley's sermon. I read that sermon of Spurgeon's maybe 25 years ago. I read about Horsley's sermons. One day I was in a second-hand bookshop in the city of Swansea when we lived in South Wales. It was known as Ralph's Bookshop. There was quite a bit of very old stuff. You had to do a bit of searching. But I found an old copy of Bishop Horsley's sermon, or sermons. And in that volume was the message that Mr. Spurgeon referred to. What does the Lord Jesus mean in those words, which shall not taste of death? Well, let me remind you, men and women, that the lake of fire is described in this chapter. If you look at verse 14, it's described as the second death. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. What the Savior is saying is this, that all the pain of physical death, all the sufferings of hell that a soul will experience before the great white throne judgment, all of that, men and women, will be as nothing. They will not even have tasted death in comparison with what awaits them in the lake of fire, what is spoken of here in this chapter. I say to you tonight, men and women, we cannot even begin to imagine the awful agonies of this place. What is the lake of fire like? It's an awful place, men and women. Terrible. It is the ultimate horror. You think of it, body and soul perishing in those flames for all of God's great eternity. But you know, men and women, there's mercy here. There's great mercy in this passage, great mercy found in the Word of God and its teaching on this subject. And the mercy is this: God has revealed this place to you. God has revealed this truth to you, the truth of the eternal punishment of the sinner. God has warned you very clearly, very plainly in His Word about the awful danger of going to this place, of ending up here, this being your destiny, your ultimate destiny in eternity. And just in closing, men and women, in the light of these solemn truths, I want to say one simple word to you all, and it is this: you need to flee from the wrath that is to come. Remember, that's the message that was preached by John the Baptist in his great ministry. You need to flee, men and women, from the wrath that is to come. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, and then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. You ask me, how do you escape? How do you flee? Well, the answer is by the second birth. The fact is, to escape the second death, you need to be born again. To escape the lake of fire, men and women, you need to be born again of the Spirit of God, the words of the Savior. You must be born again. Sometimes it's summed up like this: if you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll only die once. So the question is, which is it for you? How many births have you had? I warn you plainly tonight, you need the second birth. You need the birth from above. If you're not going to end up in this lake, if you're not going to end up in the ultimate horror. So I plead with you, men and women, in Christ's name tonight, come to the Savior. Come to the Lord Jesus. Come today. Resist not the Spirit of God any longer. Come today to Christ and be born again. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. May God use His word tonight. May the Spirit come and apply it powerfully and even savingly to your heart and to your soul. We'll sing a couple of verses of 256. The hymn 256, Where Will You Spend Eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? The first and last, the verses 1 and 4, the final verse gives the appeal, the great invitation: turn and believe this very hour, trust in the Savior's grace and power, then shall your joyous answer be saved throughout all eternity. So verses 1 and 4 of the hymn 256, please.
Your answer be, where will you spend?
Heavenly Father, we praise thee for your mercy, your grace, your goodness to us. Thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Father, for all that is taught within it. We pray that in this land of ours you'll give a hearing, give an ear for the gospel message. We pray, Father, there'll be a concern that'll come upon the hearts of men and women about their soul, about spiritual things, about eternity. Thank you, Father, for being with us tonight. We pray that you'll write these truths upon our hearts. Father, even as thy people, we want to pray that you'll never take away from us, Father, that concern of a soul dying without Christ, going to a lost eternity. Thank you, Father, for giving to us again a vision of the awful plight of the unconverted. Give us greater zeal, we pray. We pray for a deeper burden. We pray, Father, use us in a greater way. We ask that we'll give more of our time and talents in that great business of soul winning. Remember the lost, Father, any in this meeting that are without Christ, any listening to the service. O God, have mercy upon them. We plead of thee. We ask that you would come tonight by your Spirit. Come and strive. Come and do that great work of regeneration that only the Spirit of God can do. Lord, come and visit us. We ask in this house, salvation is of the Lord. We pray that, and not just tonight, but we pray, Father, in coming weeks, that it will please thee to come in salvation blessing. We remember, Father, those times many years ago when the Lord's people came to the gospel service with that anticipation of how many would be saved, how many would be dealt with tonight. Oh God, we mourn and lament the barrenness of the days in which we're found. Send to us, Father, a mighty move of your Spirit so that multitudes in this land once more will be swept into the kingdom of God. And now we ask, spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's love the boat, our souls arrive in peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.